is, who likes to be told no? I don't really see any hands going up anywhere. So let me ask you this. What if you pray and the answer is no? Still don't like it? It's hard to figure out. Anybody else? Anybody like to hear no when you pray for something? Sometimes we keep praying for it even though the answer is no. Okay. Why don't we like to be told no? We want what we want. When we want it. We're spoiled. Selfish. Okay. What makes us that way? Have you ever wanted something and the answer was no? Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever needed something, actually really needed something, and the answer was no? I'll say from God. So, why do you think that is? Why do you think some things we can ask for and the answer is no, but then there are things that we need and the answer is never no? Amen. How rich is God? He's rich. Everything we need, He has.
Also, He said that He that gave His own Son, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things?
Amen. Gosh. He's got verses I didn't get there. So I want to ask you this too. Whether it's a prayer that's answered in no, or if we ask somebody something or we want something and the answer is no, how do we react? I heard we pout. Really? Christians pout? Adults pout? Any other reactions we get from people or that you have when you're told no? Throw a tantrum? I could see Richard doing that.
I think you can grieve the no, but also trust the Lord for what's next.
Okay.
I think you can be sad about the no, but be like, okay, Lord, I don't know, but here's I'm gonna trust.
God has a plan. God has a plan even when He tells us no. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So Paul has a problem. I don't know what Paul's problem was. He said he had been given this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. But what did he do about the problem that he had? He prayed about it. And it says he prayed about it how many times? Do you think he just prayed about it three times? Over and over. Paul continually prayed that the Lord would take this problem away. But if you look at these first few verses, Paul says a few things here. I'm going to skip down and then I'm going to go back in my notes here a little bit. He said, "Lest I should be exalted." He said, "I was given a thorn in the flesh." And then again he says, "Lest I should be exalted." Can we take pride in our abilities? Do you think even Paul could? Do you think when Paul preached and he saw people coming to Christ that he could have taken pride in that? He could have.
I think it's human nature that after you've had success going in one direction over and over and over again, after a while you begin to think it's you and not the Spirit of God.
Yeah. So we do have a tendency to take pride in our abilities. Do you think sometimes the Lord brings things in our life to bring us down a notch or two? Do we need that from time to time? What does it do when we realize that we can't do it on our own? What does it do to ourselves? Yeah. It humbles us. It humbles us when we realize I can't do it on my own. It's only through the power of God that I can be successful. And then what do? We give God the glory for that. And we don't take the credit for being successful. We pass that on to Him, because only through Him are we going to have success in this life. You know, do you think that Paul understood at the time that he had this problem, why he had the problem? Probably not. You know, you look at this and he says, now he's saying, you know, I could have been exalted. And he said, I was given this thorn in the flesh. I was given this problem. Why? Because I may have been exalted and I may have taken pride in this. So he said, I prayed about it and I got an answer. If you look here in verses 9 and 10, we'll see what his answer was. It says, and he said unto me, this is the Lord speaking to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, you look at what Paul says here, or how the Lord speaks to Paul and how he reacts. Lost my place there. We see that God didn't remove the problem, but he gives him a promise. And that's the thing we need to keep in mind as we go through whatever trial it may be in this life, whatever may be questionable in our life. Whenever the Lord tells us no, he leaves the problem there for us to work with a little bit, and maybe it'll strengthen us a little bit as we go through these trials throughout our life. He says, my grace is enough. Yeah. You know, what do you need? You need my grace, and it's enough. He gave him, and I stole this from Chuck Swindoll. He says, grace to endure, grace to handle the pain, grace to face the future, grace to accept God's no. You know, whenever the Lord says, my grace is enough, what's his grace enough for? Anything we face in this life. It doesn't matter what we're going through in this life, his grace is enough. And he's going to carry us through. Not only that, but he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And if you're receiving his strength, that must mean he must be with you. So even in the problems, even in the trials, even in the unknowns, or even in the no, whenever he says no, he says, I'm still with you. I'm telling you no for a reason. And I'm going to be with you through that too. And, you know, just as Amy said there a while ago, you know, we may get that no and we may not like it, but we can still know that he's with us and that he has a plan and he has a purpose. So Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5, you don't have to go there or anything. But he gives us a promise here that he'll never leave us, that he'll never forsake us. And, you know, we go through life sometimes, we may have some struggles, you know, we've seen some things happen in this past week, and we look at it and say, why is this happening? We may go through some struggles. We talked about some of this stuff in Sunday school this morning. You know, there may be questions about the direction for our life. You know, where's the next job coming from? Where's the money going to come from to pay the bill? What are you going to do with my family? What about this sickness that we're facing? Whatever it may be, we can have a lot of questions, but the Lord says, I'll never leave you.
Amen.
I'll never forsake you. And have you ever gone through something and known that you had someone by your side to go through it with you? Isn't it much easier to go through the trial with someone by your side than it is to fight through that on your own? We have a promise that we'll never go through anything in this life alone. You know, I thought about Mary Lou back there talking about her trip that she's planning. You won't be alone, Mary Lou. The Lord's going to be right there with you through that trip, and you can trust him. This is a personal thing here. I would rather have a problem and know that the Lord is with me than to go through life without problems and the Lord not be with me. And I put, think about that, because that took some thought for me. You know, the thought ran through my mind, and then I thought, I got to think about that a little bit. Because when you start thinking about that, just think, say, everything you have is paid for. House, cars, electric company calls you up and say, you don't owe a bill for the rest of your life. We're going to take care of it. Here's a free cell phone, you know, no more bills. Water bill, don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. You're not going to be sick for the rest of your life. Everything is going to run smooth. But one of these days, the rest of your life is going to be the end. And when that time comes, to think that I went through my entire life with everything good, but not to have the Lord with me, it's not going to mean anything on that final breath that I take. When I take my final breath, the Lord's going to be with me. When I take my final breath, I'm going to breathe it out here, and I'm going to breathe my first breath in heaven, because that's a promise he's made to me. And, you know, there may be things in life that he's going to tell me no, and it may be hard, but he's still going to be with me. And those no's may bring blessings, boy, that's hard to say, that are better than if he would have said yes.
Right.
Have you ever gone through something in life and looked back and say, wow, I'm glad the Lord didn't say yes to that one? The no kept me out of trouble. The no helped me make the right choices. The no put me in a place that I needed to be rather than a place I wanted to be, whatever it may be. You all don't have this. I've got this on mine. But this is something that really struck me this week. And, you know, I haven't been able to get it off my mind. But you think, since Wednesday, Wednesday was when this tragic shooting occurred, and we saw the life of, you know, I believe a man of God taken. But I told him this in Sunday school this morning. I said, since Wednesday, Charlie Kirk has spoken to more people about Jesus than he spoke to in 31 years. It's amazing how God can take the tragedy in this life and use it for his glory. I don't believe I have seen an interview with anyone who knew him personally that it hasn't been mentioned about his faith in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but it always leads, in each one of these interviews, it leads to someone on these news shows telling this to the world, the plan of salvation. I have heard so many times this week, just turning on the news. When was the last time you turned on the news and you heard, Jesus died for your sins? He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. You know, we've seen such a tragedy, but God can turn that around, and God can save people through the tragedies in this life. This has hit me so hard this week after this has happened. And I thought back, you know, during 9/11, you saw a lot of people going to church. You turned on the news and they'd say, we need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray. But you didn't hear the plan of salvation in all of that.
Right.
We need to pray for these people. We need to pray for their families. But through this tragedy, we've heard the plan of salvation over and over and over again. And Amy was there this afternoon and she said, you know, everything I look at, I hear of people saying, I'm going to church Sunday. And I've never heard that before to this magnitude. And why is it? You know, God wasn't surprised Wednesday when this happened. God knew it was going to happen. And God allowed it to happen. God didn't do it. Wickedness, evil did this. God allowed it. But God can take the evil of this world and use it for his glory. And only God can do that. People can look at this and say, well, it's just something passing or whatever it may be, but God can do what we can't. And we never need to forget that. And I can go back and you go back into Genesis and you read about Joseph whenever he met his brothers. What did he tell his brothers whenever they were afraid that he was going to do something to him? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We can see that the evil that is meant for this world, God can bring great things out of it. So a few things I put here at the end. When we don't have an answer, or the answer is no, some things we can look to. Philippians 4:11 says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." How hard do you think it was for Paul to come to that point in his life? How many shipwrecks and prison stays and snake bites and beatings and, yes, hunger, cold, wet, shipwrecked at sea, out in the ocean. I said that before, but you look at all of these things that he went through. Somehow, through all of that, he saw God keep him through everything that he went through. And he says, I've learned whatever I go through, I'm going to be content with it. Lord's in control. We need to keep that in mind. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." If you think about that verse, the Lord is saying, the thoughts I have for you, you're my people. He says, the thoughts I have for you, they're thoughts of peace. All I want in your life is peace. Come to me, and I'll give you peace. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. We talked about that this morning also. My thoughts toward you aren't evil. The Lord doesn't have any bad thoughts toward us. Dan says this all the time. God's not mad at you. He doesn't have evil thoughts toward us. He wants peace in our life. And he gives us an expected end. What's my expected end? My expected end is going to be just the beginning whenever I reach heaven. You know, the end of this life, I'm not afraid of that. I don't fear that. I don't have a promise of tomorrow, but I know where I'm going to be if my life on this earth ends. He's given me an expected end, and that expected end is heaven.
Amen.
Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We may not understand the no, but God has a purpose.
Yes, he does.
We may not understand the wait, because sometimes God just says wait. He may say yes, but we may have to endure some things before we see the yes. But God has a purpose. We may not understand why someone's life is tragically taken, but God has a purpose in it all. God has a plan for the things going on in the Middle East right now. God has a plan for the things going on in Ukraine and Russia. God has a plan in the lives of every person sitting in this room tonight. God has a plan for each and every one of us. We don't know what that plan is fully, but he has a purpose. And he knows how he's going to get us through that. Romans 8:28. You all know that verse, I'm pretty sure. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The key is just to accept the call.
Amen.
To be the called.
Yeah.
He calls us. Do we answer the call? If we answer the call, we're the called. And all things will work together in some way or another for good in our lives if we answer his call. You know, and then once we answer that call, we can accept the answer that God has for us. If that answer is no, we'll be able to accept it. It may be tough, but we can accept it because he knows what's best for us, and he knows that whatever answer he has for our life, if we put our faith and trust in him, he will be glorified. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, that I don't have to question what happens in this world. I just need to trust. So, that's all I have.